And hi, everybody. Welcome to New Jersey Revolution Radio on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com. You can go there, make a donation. We've got a few stories that we're following this weekend. If you're listening during the weekend of August 27th and 28th, 28th and 29th, 28th and 29th, I will be doing some work on the website. Hopefully, it's going to make it a lot easier to use, a lot easier to find the podcast, and a lot easier for those of you that use different services like Google Play and iTunes and other hosting services to check us out on the web. Today, I am joined by Conrad. I got in touch with Conrad as I was looking around the web and looking at different podcasting things that are going on, particularly with social justice movement. I came upon the Redneck Revolt podcast, which I recommend. It's a little dated, but you know, their line was really good. And it struck me as, you know, an organization that's trying to reach out to rural areas. And we have a lot of rural areas here in New Jersey. And, you know, I could point out to Northwest New Jersey where we have, you know, the state assemblyman out there who sleeps or who plays solitaire during meetings has a Confederate flag tattooed on his arm. So we have some rural areas with some redneck culture, if you will, as I see it. Conrad, thanks for joining me today. I know you work in coalition with Redneck Revolt as well as Socialist Party and other groups. Can you tell me a little bit about your work and how you came to do this work out there in Suffolk County?
Basically, what got me started was we have the Klan out here as well as Oath Keepers and other 3%ers, Proud Boys, stuff like that. And once Trump was elected and basically a lot of closeted racists came out of the woodwork and nobody was really doing anything. Long Island, specifically Suffolk County, consists of a lot of conservative Trump supporters as well as like moderate Democrats, more like Hillary based. And there was really nothing out here. There is an anarchist collective that does like free stores and stuff. But there was nothing that really was like fighting racism or transphobia or anything like that. So we started organizing actually in last March. It was myself and two other members. We met at a Jacobin reading group and basically just talking about politics. That's how the ball got rolling, basically.
Yeah. So I, you know, as a white organizer trying to communicate with other white people, mm-hmm. While going on my own journey about learning about white privilege, right, and understanding my own white privilege, has presented challenges. And, you know, the message on the podcast about confronting white supremacy and why it's bad for white people, to try to open that door to that conversation, is that something that you – how do you go about that conversation there in Suffolk County?
I try to encourage people to use their white privilege to speak up for communities that don't have that privilege, basically. This past January, in, I believe it was Bayshore, three individuals were pulled over by an unmarked cop car, and one person in the car was white, one was African American, and then one was, I'll say Latinx. And what happened was, we have MS-13 out there. And since two of these people were non-white, the unmarked cop car pulled these kids over. They were, college students of the Suffolk Community College in Brentwood, and the cops pulled them over and beat these kids while calling them racial slurs. And these kids were being pulled over. They actually called the cops saying, there's this car that's been following us. They actually themselves thought it could have been gang related.
Oh, wow.
And once these cops that were beating the college students heard on the radio that there was an unmarked car that was what they were driving, they stopped and just went about their business. And the three individuals in the car, the white kid, they didn't touch. And then the other two, they beat terribly while, saying racist things.
Wow. Was there any repercussions for the police? Have they been fired, suspended? Where is that?
Well, right now there's a internal investigation. It was actually April 2nd, I believe. I believe it was April 2nd. It was a Wednesday. They have community meetings. So myself and other members of our collective, as well as other organizations on the island, as well as people of the community, went to the meeting and basically said that they're doing an internal investigation. Obviously, May 2nd is when they're going to come to a conclusion with this said investigation. We basically
nothing criminal.
Oh no. What happened was, I said that you guys are investigating yourselves, and clearly you're going to find yourselves not guilty. Yeah. And if anything, they're going to be given like paid vacation or something. But yeah, this happens a lot more frequent in the city, but the fact is this happened in January. A local news anchor made a YouTube video regarding this, and it just got in the headlines now. And prior to the the Facebook video, there was no investigation. So once it hit social media, the cops started panicking and pretending that they genuinely cared about the two individuals that were beaten.
Yeah, at least we got some attention turned to that horrible tragedy, though, but it doesn't sound like anybody's held to account. Has there been any work or any discussion in your group about civilian complaint review boards or how to go about abolishing the police? I mean, where do you take up action on that as far as challenging the system of white supremacy in our police force?
Yeah, well, there's actually a group in Nassau that works with abolishing prisons. Right now they're trying to get it so inmates can vote and whatnot. They pretty much do that stuff. We basically, our collective will work with other organizations. There's one, Third World People's Alliance, based out of pretty much Stony Brook students, as well as a few comrades from out west. And in one of the cases we did was the Keenan and Anthony. It was two African-American males. One was, I believe, 19. One was 20. And this happened in Bellport in Suffolk County. They were on a dirt bike that was supposedly stolen. And the brother of the stolen dirt bike went in the minivan of the brother and hit these kids going over 100 miles per hour on Montauk Highway. That's one of the main roads on Suffolk to get from town to town. And they made a Facebook post saying, basically swearing and stuff, saying once they find out who did this, they're basically going to kill these people. And what happened was the guy was arrested. He's a white guy, former Marine, I believe. And they charged him with, I believe, reckless endangerment. Although they premeditatedly killed these two individuals going over 100 miles per hour in a minivan. Jeez. And it just shows that if the roles were reversed, if it was these two kids killing a white person, they'd be charged with murder.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And our collective, as well as members of New York City PSL and the family members of the victims. We petitioned in different towns on Long Island. We were able to get, I believe, might have been like 850 signatures to up the charges. Mm-hmm. And we were able to up the charges, but at the end of the day, the guy might get between 5 to 10 years for killing two people. And it's all because he is ex-military and because he's white. And just like stuff like this, on Facebook, there was a volunteer firefighter from, I believe it was the Holbrook Fire Department, said that the guy that ran over the two victims deserved a medal and that we should bring back lynching. And this is somebody who was formerly a volunteer firefighter. We flooded social media, Socialist Party page, Redneck Revolt, Long Island Activists, all that stuff, with these posts. And their website, the Holbrook Fire Department, had Confederate flags littered all over the website. And we spoke to members of the Bellport community, and they said that they're afraid to call the fire department because they know if their house is on fire, the fire department will smash a window and allow the house to burn down and be like, oh, well, we tried. And these are people that you're taught as a child to trust, but they can't.
I was in a police establishment for reasons I won't say on the podcast recently. Yeah. And there, you know, is office space, and around on the walls, it looked to me to be a museum of white guys with guns. I mean, it's the culture in the police. I mean, everywhere I looked, there was a picture of a guy, sometimes with them pointed at the camera, like a gun pointed at me. And I remember thinking, like, why is this guy pointing a gun at me? Why I got, you know, this culture of white supremacy is so pervasive in these establishments. And this, you know, these incidences of outright beatings and murder result from that culture, you know, and I'm glad to hear you're addressing that with some partners. And I have a lot of respect for some of the organizations you mentioned that you worked with, like the IWW, who's probably got the best rep for working with incarcerated workers and dealing with these kinds of, you know, issues, you know, on the left as far as a union goes. How does your collective work? Is it more of a loose-knit community? Is there formal coalitions that you guys work together on? How do you kind of function?
Well, it basically consists of roughly 15 individuals that share somewhat similar beliefs. We consist of ANCOMs to like Marxist-Leninists, but like theory-wise, we disagree with certain things, but we're all anti-racism and basically anti any type of hate. And we're all anti-capitalists. That's basically where we all agree. Whether it's people interested in Redneck Revolt that reach out, or Socialist Party, or even people that don't even want to be a member but want to still work with us, it's basically like that. Like we have one IWW member in the group, PSL. Actually trying to, some of the members are trying to start a PSL out here because the closest one is New York City. And that's about a good hour and 45 minutes from us. But yeah, the main agreement is you have to be anti-hate and anti-capitalist. And that's the two, like, I guess, agreement points in order to work with the collective. Like, if you're somebody that'll say like, oh, in order to end police brutality, you need to hire more black cops or something like that, then that's somebody I myself would not want to work with. Because that's not going to end police brutality. Like at the meeting, they mentioned Suffolk County consists of, I believe it was 20, it was either 25 or 2,700 police officers, and 3% of the population is African American in the police force. And it's clearly a white supremacist institution.
And yeah, definitely.
We've had a few MS-13 murders further out west, the Brentwood area and whatnot. And Trump spoke at Suffolk Community College in Brentwood and basically encouraged to be more violent just with arrests. And while he was speaking, you see Suffolk County police officers applauding him, and it's like something you'd see in like a clip from like Nazi Germany. And
that's a scary image.
Oh yeah. And with this MS-13 murders, they're using it to justify anybody that would be from Central or South America.
Yeah. And have you seen ICE engagement in your area? Trying to disrupt the community. They're bullshit.
We have comrades that have mentioned what ICE in, on Long Island does is they will pick up children, and basically the parents will go to get their children, and then they will be deported. So they're doing like tactics like that, and going disgusting. For children, that's a disgusting, yeah.
It's disgusting, but those are disgusting people over at ICE, an agency that should be outright abolished. We don't even need to replace it. Just get rid of it.
They're targeting like kids in elementary school, picking them up if they're walking home, and then the parents
that's think not the kids uncommon.
Are, yeah, no.
They were in Highland Park here in an area outside of New Brunswick here in New Jersey. They were doing the same thing, sitting outside of schools waiting for parents to pick their kids up and then hauling them off and into the system.
Yeah. And then they have the traffic stops out here. I believe that was I was in the North Fork driving around and they have everybody stopped, and it's clearly not your average police officer, different uniforms and everything. And they ask for your papers, and they saw that I was white, so they let me go. But like, it's terrible.
Yeah, man, it is. And I know I appreciate you coming on today and talking about that. And it's nice to hear, because I've been involved here in New Jersey with some coalition work with different groups on the left. And it's nice to hear that just a couple of points of agreement can get people to work together, you know, and work towards positive solutions. So that's, you know, while it's a really serious fight that you're engaged in, and obviously you're dealing with really deep issues, but, you know, it's certainly nice to hear the bright spot, I think, about this conversation is hearing that you've got comrades that don't agree on every little thing, but can get together on some things and make it happen. So, that's impressive.
Yeah. Regarding like the Suffolk County Redneck Revolt branch, there was a independent article that came out. It was December 23rd. It may have came out. And a member from the independent came out and interviewed us, went to the range and everything. And we've been getting a lot of positive, stuff, or the Redneck Revolt page rather, has been getting a lot of positive stuff from that. People in even like Europe and stuff are like reaching out, being like, oh, we saw the article, we fully support what you're doing.
Yes,
and
yes.
Whatnot. And then you also get the reactionary like 3%ers that are saying like they want to give us free helicopter rides and stuff like that, because I guess that's what they did in Chile in, was it 73, yeah. The CIA. They'd throw the communists out of helicopters and stuff. So they say like stuff like that. And then I'm actually interviewed in the video, and they called me like a fat Jew and just like insults like that. And it's just like ignorant, hateful things. They have not, they can't like critique our praxis or anything.
These are not intellectuals over there. I'm a working class guy, and I don't think you need a PhD to see what's wrong with our society and our economics. But these are not, you're getting what we would expect from a bunch of racist pigs.
There's one person on the page. We posted a thing about Philandro Castile being murdered. And it was somebody from maybe, I think, 3% or from like the Arizona area or whatever. We got in an argument or a discussion. Yeah, basically an argument. And I had to be civil because you're supposed, it's not on my own Facebook and I'm representing organizations. So I had to keep it chill.
Good.
And this basically this guy said that he had a broken taillight from like 4 years ago. And that was enough justification to have the guy murdered in front of his girlfriend and the kid. And then he's like, oh, there was THC in his system, and that negates the concealed carry license. And I just called him out. I said, I went to your page, and you said BLM is a terrorist organization. You're a piece of human garbage.
Yes, he is. As far as social media goes and going back and forth, I mean, we cannot – don't feed the trolls, right, is the saying.
I think they
expose themselves for what they are, although you got to be safe. I mean, honestly, you know, obviously this conversation has told me, like I said, you're dealing with serious people. You know, make sure that you and your comrades talk about security and safety and the precautions that you need to have. You know, because it is serious. And, you know, whether it be a gang or the police or the federal government, all of them have murdered activists, all of them. So, you know, please be careful. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck in that struggle. Let me ask you, you brought up going to the range, and I got to ask you about this because I looked, when I was looking at the PAG podcast, like I said, it was a little dated, but they spoke about counter-recruitment. Particularly counter-recruitment in spaces which our culture tells us are not spaces for lefties, right? NASCAR races, gun shows, country music events, all right? And, you know, in our prejudiced minds here in the United States, when we think those things, we think Southern, we think Confederate flags, we think Trump supporters, we think racists. But here's the organization saying, we're going to go into this space and we're going to talk about the negative effects of capitalism and how these things are bad for the working class. Mm-hmm. To what end have you used those strategies in Suffolk County, if at all?
I myself, not being a member of Redneck Revolt, I can see how, like, in certain areas, like, probably like the Carolinas and stuff, something like that's a lot more important. I have spoken to reactionary people. This one guy at the range, actually, he basically said that he voted for Trump because he was afraid that Hillary was going to take his guns. And then he also said that he works two jobs to support his family. So I said, all right, this guy's pro-Second Amendment, and he understands what needs to be done in order to support his family working two jobs. So then we started talking, and then he started talking about Brexit and how immigrants in England are turning the country into a bad, like, I don't know if you edit things out, I'll just say into a bad country.
No, I do not edit things. I just put them right on.
Oh, so swearing okay or no? Yeah.
Yo, yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been trying to keep it PG.
No, man, yeah. I curse all the time.
Yeah, no, he basically said that immigrants are turning England into a shithole, and by immigrants he meant Muslims. So I'm like, all right, fuck this guy. I tried to talk to him, and that was it. Like, basically, I'll talk to, like, Bernie supporters and stuff and be like, you're on the right track, but you need a little push to the left. Like that's basically the kind of recruitment I'll do. Like if somebody's a hateful piece of garbage, like Richard Spencer or something, I won't even waste my time. The amount of effort you put in.
You are wasting your time in these conversations. You're right.
Oh, yeah. And, like, the thing is, all that effort you're putting into something like that, you could be doing stuff for, like, we're doing stuff for the black communities and stuff out here.
And the shame is you even said, and you even said, as part of that conversation, this guy is working two jobs and is suffering detrimental effects from the negative effects of capitalism. And yet here he is, you know, being reactionary, blaming immigrants, blaming, you know, somebody trying to take away his guns, instead of realizing that he shouldn't have to be working 80 hours a week to be poor, you know. And that's that mechanism of using racism and hate and things to send them off on the wrong track, it's very effective. Mm-hmm. And it's really effective, especially in white communities. It speaks to that insecurity of, you know, I'm losing my power, you know, I'm losing my country, my identity, you know, which it makes really no sense when you think about it. And I could equate it a little bit with the, you know, the LGBTQ movement that won a great victory when they had marriage equality. I know there's other things to fight for, but, you know, that argument that somehow gay marriage was going to affect my marriage was utterly ridiculous. And the idea that more working class people are coming here from wherever, especially if they're coming here from a war-torn or violent region of the world, to come here and have a better life and to do things in a peaceful environment, it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you as a white person. You're just sharing your world with people who are here. And I don't understand, but it does work. That fear, if we can get rid of that fear in the white community, you know, and start to grow more acceptance and love, you know, that's a big part of the solution, at least I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a lot of people, it's just like the cognitive dissonance, like you mentioned, like it's just a way of thinking. And with some people, the light switch will go on and they'll be like, oh, wow, I really am an asshole. But then, like, it just doesn't. You're just wasting your time, I guess. Basically,
I'll tell you that's right, because the light switch has gone on with me a few times, reminding me that I'm an asshole, and I've had to recognize my own abuse of privilege. You know, and you do have to go through that, man. And I've been lucky enough here in New Jersey to work with some comrades who have taken me on that journey and been accepting of my flaws, you know, and developing me politically. So, you know, and I know that, you know, it sounds like the discussions that you're having, you know, some of them may be frustrating, but it also sounds like you're bringing people along as well. And, you know, so, you know, thanks for that effort.
Oh yeah. The thing is with us too, we'll like touch on a lot of things, that like even like groups like the DSA and stuff like that aren't willing to like touch, like the Nazis, for instance, or neo-Nazis, the 3%ers and stuff, which I think we need more groups like that that are going to basically say this shit isn't going to fly no more.
Right.
And that's basically what our little collective is trying to do, to encourage people to do more than speak out, actually go to marginalized communities and help out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If wanted, of course. Like the police brutality things and stuff, we went to Bayshore and gave out the things regarding these meetings, the one coming up on May 2nd. And a lot of people, very supportive. They said, basically, God bless you guys. We wish more people would be doing stuff like that. But then you have other people, like you go up to the house and it's like, you see like Blue Lives Matter stickers and like shit like that. And then I don't even go up to those houses because clearly people like that, you can't talk to.
Right. All right, man. If people want to get in touch with you or Redneck Revolt or, you know, kind of contact you about any of these groups that you mentioned with, how can we reach out to you? Do you have any websites or anything you'd like to plug?
Well, there's a socialist party, Suffolk County Socialist Party. There's a Facebook page of that. There's a Facebook page of Suffolk County Redneck Revolt. And then there's a Facebook group, I believe it's Long Island Socialism. It's either Long Island Socialism or Long Island Socialist. It's a comrade of ours is a basically created the page. And I believe there's a few hundred people in that. But that's the main three things. On the Redneck Revolt page, it has our email and whatnot, too, if anybody's into that type of stuff or if you're into Socialist Party. Check out the page too. I admin that one, and yeah, I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. We need more leftists out here.
Definitely, man. And I appreciate your work. We'll throw some notes up on the website so people can reach out to you through those links. And it's nice to meet a comrade, just so people in the audience know, me and Conrad just met a few minutes before this interview. So, you know, listen, if you want to pop back on, if you find this helps your organizing and it helps you get word out, even though I'm Jersey-centric here, you're close enough, comrade, and if we can help you out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually had a Jersey person reach out to us looking to organize with us because they don't have a Redneck Revolt out there.
Right.
But, yeah, it looks like hopefully soon New Jersey will have some stuff going as well because I heard it's very progressive out there.
Well, you know, it's Jersey. Jersey is a big, wide world of corruption and right wing and left wing, and it's that's a whole. That's about 20 or 30 more podcasts to explain what New Jersey is like.
God.
You know, but certainly, you know, grateful for the conversation, man. And I hope we have more of them in the future. And like I said, put me in touch with anybody in the area that wants to talk to us. All right, man.
Yeah, definitely. Take care.
Have a good one.